Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Jillian Lawson. I'm playing the role of Millie in the musical Thoroughly Modern Millie, and I'm sitting here with Bill Zabotti, the director and choreographer. How are you doing today, Bill?
Hi, Jillian. Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm here just to ask you a few questions about your experience with theater and with Pepperdine and the department here.
Oh, good.
So first off, when did you know that you wanted to be in theater?
Wow. Very early. I mean, there's pictures of me in first grade playing the lead frog in a little musical we did. And so very early I was performing and dancing and showing off my splits to family members when I was a little kid. So I knew that's all I've ever wanted to do. So I was mostly actually in music, mostly.
Okay.
And then I got interested in musicals. And my uncle, who performed a little bit, he said that if you wanted to be in theater, you had to do it all. You had to sing, dance, and act. And so I started taking dancing, and then it just took off from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. How does doing a student production compare to doing a Broadway one?
Directing?
Sure. Let's go with directing. Yeah.
Well, I've never directed a Broadway musical, but I've been involved in many, and as an actor and as an assistant dance choreographer. And working with students is really rewarding. And I've worked with professional dancers in regional theater, and they get it right away. So I come in, I choreograph my dances or direct a scene, they got it, and we move on. The exciting thing about working with students is that it's raw talent, and it's fun to mold these students and to teach something and watch them grow from day one in rehearsals to like opening night last night. To see how far everyone's come is pretty exciting, where in a professional or Broadway production, you can kind of see, you know, what's going to go on
right. And
how they're going to be right off the bat. And so the most exciting thing for me is just watching the students grow watching people get better, watching people find themselves and find their voices and find their talents that I think some of them are surprised they even had, and pulling that out of them. It's also fun working with the eagerness of young actors. And they do it because they love it and they want to do this for a living, where the difference between a Broadway show is money. You're getting paid to do it. It's your job. There's a lot of money that producers put into these shows. So it becomes a lot about money.
Mm-hmm.
And in student productions, it's out of the love of theater and performing. And there's a different quality that shines through the show when you do it for that reason than when you're doing it for a job or for money.
How would you describe the role of theater at Pepperdine? What kind of turnout do you get at auditions, and who typically fills the seats at the shows?
Wow, that was three questions.
That was three questions.
Can I start with the first one?
Yes.
The role of theater at Pepperdine.
Yes.
One of the reasons I feel truly blessed to be teaching here and teaching for Kathy Thomas Grant, the Fine Arts Chair, is that we do more than just slap a show up on stage. We do more than just teach dance steps and teach people to sing and then they perform it for an audience. We find the truth and the message in a production and the shows. And mm-hmm. why are you up there? What story do we want to convey? Who are you as a character? We go a lot deeper than I think a lot of theater departments do and a lot of theaters do in their shows. And I think when we choose shows too, we pick shows that have messages that can make a difference somehow. And I think that's really special, and I think that teaches the students you know, something more than just how to sing, dance, and act.
Yeah.
And we teach, you know, where does it come from and why do we do it? And I think that's really pretty special, and I think that's what our theater department has to offer. And also just the cultural side of it. For a liberal arts school, you know, you have to have the arts, and I think it's important to show theater and dance and art and music. It's part of our lives. It will always be part of our lives. And I think it's something that we should never, ever get rid of.
Oh, I completely agree.
Yes, yes. Especially with, you know, all this talk about the budget cuts and money. It's scary because, you know, as you know from history, usually the arts are the first thing that goes. But hopefully that won't happen. So.
Yes.
Let's
see. So what's that second question?
The second part of that question was, what kind of turnout do you get at auditions? And I personally know, as somebody who has auditioned, they're pretty crazy. But, I mean, what does it look like from the director's standpoint?
You know, auditions are a really, really exciting time for us as a creative team. But it's also nerve-wracking because you just hope that you chose a show that you can cast out of the people that you have at the auditions. You know, the difference between a professional audition, you have people from all walks of life, all different ages, all different talents from all over the place auditioning, where in a college, you know that you have your music students, your theater students, and there are some other majors that audition for the musical, but you just hope that they come in and they prove to you that they can fulfill those roles. And you know, we have always over 100 students auditioning for the musical, which is exciting. And after seeing 100 people sing and dance and act, it's kind of makes your head spin. But the puzzle slowly starts coming together as the auditions go along. And the only thing you can do is slowly just kind of weed people out and hope that you didn't let anyone go. Now, as you know, Jillian, from your audition, thank God that you came in to sing for Miss Flannery, because you got a second chance for Millie. And right. now that you're Millie, I can't imagine anyone else in this on this campus playing Millie.
Oh,
it's just we are truly blessed to have that happen. So sometimes, for whatever reason, people do get cut, and it's great that we pulled you back into the mix, and you did it and outshined everyone else, and now you're Millie.
Well,
so,
having to do with that,
yes.
How would you say that the other faculty members in the department impact auditions, or how you work with them and collaborate with them?
I come in with a really strong idea of what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actors can change my mind, and so can faculty members as far as the music director and usually the music director. And if I'm just choreographing a show, of course, the director has say and the choreographer has say and the voice director. Those three people are the three people that are usually making the choices. In a professional production, you have a casting director that's also – has input. You have the producers who have input. But in our case, since I'm directing and choreographing, it's mostly my say with the input of Melanie Emilio in the case of Millie for music. And you know, I know a lot about music, but she can tell who can sing those roles better than I can as far as their voice range.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, with this audition, it was more about who can last, whose voices are strong enough to hold these roles.
Yeah, it's a pretty exhausting show.
It is, and especially for you. You have a lot of singing. And so that came into play as well. So then we have other little voices that chime in as well. The costumer sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's looking at body types.
Right.
And you know, how to costume, if we're renting the costumes.
Yeah, especially with this show.
Yeah, we're renting the costumes from, as you know, the original Broadway and tour costumes we're renting. So there are only certain sizes that they have that we can rent. So sometimes that comes into play as well. I mean, you know, especially if it's a drastic thing, like if, if the costume is, you know, for someone who's petite and we have a very large person that, that, you know, is up for the role, that's something that we look at as well. Mm-hmm. But not always, but look has a lot to do with it. Believe it or not, it's not just talent. And so type, you know, whatever your type is, has a lot to do with it as well. So
great. How would you say that you're preparing students for working in the professional world?
Ooh, that's a good one. By treating them like professionals. I don't treat my students like students and like they're, you know, I expect a lot out of my students and I expect a lot out of my actors. And I treat them as if they would be treated in the professional world. And I expect them to act and present themselves like professionals. And I just try to share with them the experiences that I've had in the professional world. Does that answer your question? Mostly just by having big expectations from them and treating them not like kids, you know, and expecting them to follow those rules and those that theater etiquette that you're supposed to have in the professional world.
Good. Yeah, I'd say that through my experiences just with rehearsal processes and stuff too, that Pepperdine does a pretty good job of trying to keep it as close to how the professional setting would be as possible.
Yeah, we do. And even as far like little picky things like breaks, you know, an Equity Union show, you either have to take a 5-minute break after 55 minutes of rehearsal or you take a 10-minute break after an hour 20 of rehearsal, and we try to follow that as well. You know, things about showing up on time, things about your conduct within a rehearsal, things about being prepared before a rehearsal. It's, you know, it's a business. It's not just all fun. And the better you are at understanding the business side of it, the more you're going to work. And I think we do a good job in the theater department of preparing for that side of it.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to ask you some questions about the show itself. So let's see.
What show are we doing again?
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Oh, right, that show.
That show. How did you adapt the Broadway choreography for the Pepperdine stage? Because I know that we have a few things, but I'm sure you have to be careful with copyright and everything like that.
Well, the thing that's always been funny to me, Juliet, is that they send you music and you have to follow exactly what the music says. They make you do that. They send you stage directions so that you know, can stage the show based on what they their original intent. But when it comes to choreography, there's nothing written down. There's nothing, and they actually frown upon you copying the original choreography. So I think that that's really interesting that the music director and the conductor has something to follow. The director has something to follow. But when it comes to choreographing a show, it's kind of like you're on your own.
Unless you're doing something like West Side Story where you have to do that.
Right. And like, and like Fiddler, same thing. It's anything that's Jerome Robbins. They want you to do Jerome Robbins choreography. And with Fiddler, you actually get a book that has all the choreography in it. Now, it's almost impossible to read, but you get the book with the rights. But with Millie, I felt I actually know the choreographer.
Oh, okay.
We used to work together on Broadway, and Rob Ashford. And I really loved his choreography, and I think he did a really great job. Here's a little tidbit that you probably didn't know, actually, about Thoroughly Modern Millie. I don't think anyone really knows this, but I was actually offered the show. They did the workshop in San Diego, and my friend Rob, who choreographed it, knew that I had just moved to L.A., and they were at La Jolla Playhouse before they went to Broadway, and someone broke their foot. So he called me and said, will you come down to San Diego and be in our production of Thoroughly Modern Millie? It's workshopping now. We're going to take it to Broadway, and you'll get first right of refusal, which means you get your choice if you want to go with it to Broadway. I said, oh, no, no, no. I just moved to L.A. I'm trying to, you know, break it in here and, you know, thank you very much. And then, you know, a year later, it's open on Broadway, exploded and won the Tony Award. And then I was kicking myself. But
well,
anyway,
I had no idea.
Then I could have done all the original choreography because I would have known it. But yeah, I should actually share that story with the cast.
Yeah, that's a good story.
So Rob Ashford's choreography, I had seen the Broadway production actually recorded. I never saw it live. Lincoln Center Library has everything in archives. So mm-hmm. I went last spring when we decided to do Thoroughly Modern Millie. I went to New York and saw the show in the archival tapes. And what I did is I took his ideas, like the rolling desk,
right,
and the moderns, and I took his concepts and themes and ideas, and then I adapted them to our students with my own choreography, mostly my own choreography. But you know, it's 1920s, so you have to
do,
you know, you're doing the Charleston,
moves.
You're doing the Black Bottom, you're doing the, you know, the musical theater basic, you know, push step, and I mean, there's a lot of stuff that because of the period you're going to be using anyway. And I love the period, and I love that kind of dancing, so it wasn't difficult for me
yeah.
to come up with stuff. But adapting, I didn't adapt much. I did make one huge change, and that was Forget About the Boy.
Right,
usually
right.
That's another song for Millie. And what I did is I gave it to Flannery, that song to Flannery, because I thought it made more sense for Flannery to say Forget About the Boy. And I also wanted to spotlight yet another wonderful actress and singer
yeah.
that we have, and let her, so that she would have a song as well. So I think it works really well, and it becomes a humorous song mm-hmm. instead of another song for Millie.
No,
you know, which is fine.
Agree.
It would be great, but it just becomes a comedy song to open the first the second act. So I
and really I've heard like great it. Responses from people who saw it last night. I mean.
Yeah.
Some people have told me that
were they surprised
Jessica Rotter is just hilarious.
Yes, she is. She is. The whole cast, the leading cast, it's perfectly cast. Everyone's just...
Good job.
Yeah. That's a big part of it. It really is a big part of it, is making sure the right people get in the right roles.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, and they all work together as a team, it just clicks, and it makes a quite a nice show like we have. But going along with the original and all that, I have to say that a lot of my ideas and choreography and direction, I'm inspired by other people's work
mm-hmm.
as well. I have to say I saw a high school production of this show. I saw a college production of this show, which was very good at Azusa Pacific. And then I saw the Broadway production. And what I do is I look at all these things with a very critical eye, and I say – I look at it and go, what would I change? Do I like that? Don't I like that? What would I change? You know, how can I make this more interesting? How can I make the story more clear? And I ask myself questions, and I take bits and pieces from these other directors and choreographers, and it's like an exchanging of ideas, basically. And so a lot of it is inspired by other productions that I've seen too, and then I take what I didn't like and I make it my own.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And something that I've noticed is great about the way you choreograph things from watching other people dance or, like, doing it myself mm-hmm. is that you have a really great way of taking students who might not have had a lot of dance training and just showcasing the abilities that they have or giving them things that they can definitely mm-hmm. do and just mm-hmm. sparkle in. So
yeah.
I think that's great.
Thank you. I think the biggest mistake that that choreographers can make is to be set in stone with their choreography and come in mm-hmm. and go, this is what I want to do. Because you have to be very in tune with the dancers that you have, and if they don't and the actors as well. If they don't look good doing something, if it's just not in their body, it might look good on you, but it won't look good on them, then you change it. And as you know from rehearsals, actually every production I get more and more organic, where it's like, you know, let's do this together, because
right.
what I can make up and the moves that I do might not look as good if you take something and mold it and choreograph it
And it gives the cast so much more ownership over it, too.
It does. It gets the cast involved. It makes them feel like they're a center of the creative process, too. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah.
So,
what would you say the biggest challenges so far have been?
You know, I like to be all positive and great, say no challenges. Has been amazing. But, you know, there have been a couple of challenges. And the first one I'll mention is doesn't take anything away from the amazing production that we're doing. But, you know, this takes place in the 1920s. And when we were choosing the show, the one thing that they said was this show has to be polished. It has to be so slick and clean and steel and metal of the age of the 20s and that, and we can't do that budget wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest challenge was to make it look as slick as you can with the resources that we have.
Right.
For instance, the wooden desk instead of metal desk, or the wooden sets instead of like really slick metal, you know, Art Deco kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which it looks incredible. So I'm not taking anything away from it, but it was a challenge to make everything, including the cast and the choreography, the ensemble, just a real polished, clean, sophisticated look.
Yeah.
But I think we have done the best that we can with the resources that we have, and I think the end product came out great.
Yeah, and it's also probably interesting to point out that students made a good amount of the set, so that, it's not like we have professionals in the industry.
I am glad that you brought that up, because that's the exciting thing too. And talk about getting people involved and in the middle of being part of the production.
I mean, personally, I helped build the window ledge that I dance on, so it's even more exciting when I dance on it.
And there's another difference between student productions and Broadway. You know, professional actors don't build their own sets.
No.
So I think that adds a whole new layer, I think, to the performance and stuff. So do you want some other challenges?
Sure, that'll have me. I mean, it's a big musical.
One of the biggest challenges that we have here on this campus is rehearsal space.
Mm.
And you know, and I've been here 7 years, and I'm just waiting for something to change as far as spaces to rehearse and dance in. Our spaces aren't built for dancing.
Right.
And so we desperately need dance studios on this campus.
They have that in the works, don't they?
I think there's a new athletic center being built, and there's going to be 4 aerobic rooms, and 2 of them are going to be geared with a dance floor,
mirrors, bars.
Oh, yeah. We need it badly. I mean, with Dance and Flight, Songfest,
Dance and
the
Flight
musical.
Keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Dance and Flight's getting bigger. The musical, you know, flat bigger. And the opera has dance in it. Songfest has dance in it. I mean, it's just needed. You know, so when we don't have the Lyndhurst rehearsal space to rehearse in, as you know, we don't get it all the time. There's nowhere for us to dance and rehearse, and so that's been a big challenge. And then rehearsal pianist, as you know, was a big challenge of having the same piano player that already knew the show and what we were rehearsing and stuff. So those are really small, picky challenges. It's been actually one of the smoothest, stress-free rehearsal processes I've had this year.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. And you know, many other people do. Most of the cast, I think, agrees with that. It's just been a pleasure and a lot of fun. And I think it shows. So.
Great. What would you say are Pepperdine's strengths and weaknesses in terms of the department and, you know, prospective students? Why would they choose Pepperdine and things like that?
Well, because it's a smaller school, there's more personal attention that the actors get, I think, and I think that's good. I think it's very much like a family, and everyone's very supportive of each other and very involved in every aspect of the theater. I've taught at some really large state schools, and you don't get that personal attention, and you don't as much. And there's not a sense of teamwork and camaraderie between the students and the department. I think the disadvantage is that it's a gorgeous campus up on the hill, and it's not very many people leave this bubble. And you have LA, which is an hour away,
right?
And all these wonderful resources for actors to go to performances and and museums and take class, and I don't think people take advantage of it because it's so nice up here on this hill overlooking the ocean, you know. And I think people get a little bit laid back. I think students get a little bit they lose that dorsal fin that you need when you're in the business. And the thick skin that you need when you enter the professional world, and the kind of go-get-it attitude, and just, you know, they get a little bit laid back and easy because it's so nice up here. You know,
it is pretty nice.
But I think that the theater department is a very strong theater department here, and I think we do some really wonderful productions. I think the production values that we do in the plays and the musical are top-notch compared to the other schools that I've taught at or have seen productions in. So we're very fortunate with
yeah.
that. And then, you know, we haven't even mentioned anything about just the Christian mission.
Right.
I think that that's huge in theater because I think theater students or actors and actresses and dancers are kind of put in this stereotype pigeonholed as kind of a little bit more hedonistic, and you know, and I think it's really wonderful that you can keep those values and still be in theater.
I mean, we're always taught that like we should use our talents to glorify God and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely nice to be in a setting where we are able to, or we're not put in situations where it could challenge our morals or make us do things that we're really uncomfortable with. So that's nice.
I totally agree. Yeah.
There are a lot of people out there who, you know, are a little wary of musicals and think it's just a bunch of cheesy nonsense.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us why Thoroughly Modern Millie is more than just that and why people should
Well,
see it.
It is kind of bawdy and fluffy and stuff. But the best story from last night and from our designers run through is how many people have said that they're not really like Drew, for instance,
right.
saying, you know, oh, I usually hate musicals, but I love this. And it's so funny to me because this musical has in it every reason why people would not like musicals, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, fluffy and bawdy and but, you know, it's just a good time. It's so funny. It's so well written. The music is great. The dancing is fun.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot help but smile and laugh and have a good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, Millie opened right after 9/11 in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons it was so successful is because we needed to laugh. We needed to go and escape into a theater and just have a good time because there was so much sorrow and grief at that time. And, you know, that's what art does. And I think, you know, when you go in to watch Millie, even at the Smother stage, you forget your life for a minute and you're present within all these big, goofy cartoon characters and following this girl's journey to find her dream. And you know, it's a Cinderella rags to riches story, which
right.
everyone, you know, is happy that she gets the guy in the end and such. So I think that's why I think people will come and, you know, see it and just love it and have a good time.
Yeah, it's so easy to get caught up with the characters and relate to them.
Yeah.
Something that I found is interesting is that even though it's set in the 20s and it's got like the old musical style,
mm-hmm.
you can relate it to modern day life.
Yes.
I mean, some of the older musicals, they're just completely outdated. You're like, that would never happen anymore. So
right.
it's ridiculous.
Right.
But with Millie, I mean, I could imagine something like this happening today.
Yeah.
I mean, not quite the same story, but everybody struggles with having their dreams and fighting through it.
Well, I think the 1920s is just a really wonderful era, and it's a wonderful era to do a musical about because
definitely.
The tap dancing, the you know, the Charleston dancing, the costumes, you know, at a time when you know, that it was all about style and celebrity and advertising, and I think it's just a really good era to do a musical in, and it was, you know, a time that, you know, I keep on telling you guys, it was a time of freedom and energy and change and
right.
excitement and prosperity, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. So
great.
I've had a wonderful time, and I think we are probably wrapping it up.
Yeah,
I can't believe I could talk that
questions.
Long. Thank you, Jillian. Wonderful job last night. You're amazing.
Thanks. I've had a great time on the show. So, yeah, this is interview about Thoroughly Modern Millie, which is playing this weekend and next weekend.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah,
so come see it. Peace out.